Celtics lose in Philly, their third loss in a row, but it's not time to panic.
Is it?
We'll talk about it right here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This is the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play, when the F's done I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Happy Friday everybody. We've made it to the end of the work week, the first full work week of the new year, and the Celtics would like a do-over. Thank you very much. After a loss to the Sixers, 109-98, no Joel Embiid. We found out before the game that Embiid has a torn tendon in his left ring finger, so he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. This was an opportunity for the Celtics to pick up some ground and maybe not lose the season series against the Sixers, maybe force a tiebreaker, but they didn't. They lost. So I, John Corrales of MassLive.com, am going to talk a little bit about this, and I'm going to try to not take up too much of your precious Friday time discussing this game. We'll start with the basics. The Celtics came out hot. They came out to a 35-26 lead. They looked good. They were making shots. Kemba Walker went nuts, scoring 13 points in the first quarter. It was back to the thing that worked. Kemba scoring early and then other guys figuring it out around him and piecing together a really nice performance to come out to a big lead. So Kemba obviously drops 13, but the Celtics scored 35, and they at the beginning of things, it looked good. Jaylen Brown hit two of three shots, hit both of the three-pointers. I think he only hit two on the night, and they both came in the first quarter. Jason Tatum hit a bucket and a couple of free throws. Everybody was hitting. Everything was working. Enes Kanter even came in. Marcus Smart was 3 of 6. I mean, the Celtics shot 13 of 22. The lesson here is when you make your shots, you look good. And the Celtics looked good. And it started to feel like that old formula. Like I've been saying in the other podcasts, like I said, I wrote about it on MassLive.com. Kemba comes in, kind of carries the team, and Jalen and Jason sort of figure it out. And one of those guys gets going, and then the supporting cast around him, it all just kind of works. One of those guys figures it out. The other two guys kind of fill in the gaps. And maybe one of those other two guys, Gordon or Jalen or Jason, whichever one of those other two guys has it maybe not going early, can maybe pick it up later on. If the ball moves, the whole formula is the ball moves. Okay, Kemba can get his own thing. Kemba can start and stop on a dime. Kemba can get his own buckets. But when the ball moves and one guy has it going, then the other guys play off of that. So if Jason's got it going, or in this case, Jaylen Brown's got it going, and teams start to take that away from him, well, that opens up opportunities for other players. And so those other guys just have to wait for their opportunities. So one thing that I thought happened here was guys started to force things. Jason Tatum, I saw a couple of times, I think in the second quarter, where Kemba, no, it wasn't the first quarter, Kemba had hit a couple of three-pointers, and Jason Tatum had missed a couple, and he finally hit a shot. No, wait, maybe it was in the third quarter. I think it was in the third quarter. Whenever it happened, it's late or early, depending on what your perspective is. Point is, there's a point in the game, I'm forgetting the exact time, Kemba had hit a couple of threes. Tatum had missed a couple, but then he hit one, and then he came down and fired right away. And now I think about it, it was in the third quarter because it was the basket that was facing me. He came down and forced the shot, and I felt like, you know, if you just work the ball around a little bit and let Kemba get another look, not that I want Kemba to take that shot. Of course, if he's open and he's hot, he's feeling it. He scored 10 points in the third quarter. If he's feeling it and he's hot and he's open, just get him the ball. But more so, work the ball around. They're clearly worried about Kemba. He's on his way to 10 points. He's already had a 13-point quarter. He's already torched them in this game. Work the ball around. Let him catch the ball. Let him have that gravity. Let them blitz him. Let the defense overreact to him. Okay, just because you hit a shot doesn't mean you have to come down and take the next one. And I know Tatum is starting to feel things out and explore his powers and all of that. And part of a star, part of being a star player is taking these quick shots and making these quick shots, but sometimes missing them too. Like, I get that. And Kemba is a great example. Kemba's a guy who'll come down and take these quick shots and he'll miss. And we say, okay, well, that's Kemba. But Kemba's earned that. And I think Tatum has to build up to that. And the same for other guys. You just have to build up to that a little bit, okay? And just because you're having a potential all-star season doesn't mean that you have to take those shots. So I just want... I'm saying with Tatum, like, the volume's at 10. I want him to turn it down to like 8 or 9. Just a touch back. Now, obviously, if he comes down and he drills that, the narrative changes. So I acknowledge that. If he comes down and takes that shot, you say, whew, boy, that was a big shot. I mean, there are already a couple of times this season where he's taken an entire shot clock, taken an entire possession, and I've tweeted about it. And said basically, like, he's really wasted this entire clock. He had to hit that shot, and he did. And it's a big shot. I'm not trying to be overly critical, but nitpicking at this time, like, those are the types of things. If you're feeling it a little bit more, if you haven't had the stretch that you've had, if the game isn't where it is, like, there are times and places for those quick shots. I just want him to understand time and place and situation just a little bit better. That's all. So I feel like that third quarter there, I mean, that was part of the turnaround here in this game, because in the third quarter, the Sixers turn the game around. They outscored the Celtics 29-25 in the third quarter. And those bad habits, the pressing, the lack of ball movement started to come back. And then when Philly turned it on in the fourth, there was just nowhere for the Celtics to really go. And they outscored the Celtics 32-18. And in the fourth quarter, the Celtics looked a little bit, I don't want to say rudderless, because that's not necessarily true. But they just looked like they were rushing. They didn't have that poise. And it's something that stood out to me. I asked a couple of guys about it after the game. They weren't quite feeling the question. They weren't sure what exactly was happening. But it felt like to me that in those moments in earlier in the season, the Celtics were able to respond. Those fourth quarter moments where they hadn't been falling apart, this time around they fell apart. So, third loss in a row. I'll take a break. I'll come back, get a little bit more into some of the things that Brad Stevens talked about after the game, things he was looking for, and of course Kemba Walker's thumb injury. I do not want to say surgery. Sorry, thumb injury. Talk about that next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Let's get the thumb thing out of the way for Kemba. He says he jammed it. Celtics call it a sprain. They x-rayed it after the game. There's no bone damage, no break, no nothing. They said they were afraid of ligament damage. Apparently, that's not the case. So it seems like it's just a jam or a sprain. Probably six of one, half a dozen of the other, semantics, whatever. So Kemba seems to be fine. I bet you he plays with it wrapped for a little while because there's really no time to rest it at this point. But it seems fine. The Celtics do not seem concerned. Kemba Walker was absolutely not concerned about it after the game. He was even asked if there was going to be more imaging. He's just like, no. Celtics say there will be, and there probably will be if the team said, just to be sure, you just put that through the MRI and just make sure, absolutely 100% sure, because if you don't, then if something is actually torn in there, you just don't want to have that kind of lingering, because if it's one of those, well, he needs a week or two and he'll be fine, versus we think he's fine, we're going to let him play and something worse happens, you just don't want that situation. But he seems fine. So we'll leave it at that. After the game, Brad Stevens was trying to be positive. He really accentuated the better start. He even said, if we play like this for the rest of this, well, not the rest of the season, but if we continue to play like this, we'll be okay. We're going to figure it out. That they did play with a better effort. They did play with better energy. What the Celtics really need to do, it is about the effort. If they come out and, like I was saying in the first segment, just move the ball, let the ball find the right guy. How many times have you heard me say that? Everybody eats. Everybody has their nights, okay? Now, Jaylen Brown shot 2 of 12 in this game. That, I'm actually not entirely concerned about a 2 for 12 shooting night, because he's going to have a 10 for 12 shooting night somewhere, and it's all going to average out. Like, I'm not too concerned about the missed shots. He's in a slump. Jason Tatum's in a slump. Tatum might be a little bit more concerning because he's had a lot more of those games. Jaylen, it feels like there might be a little bit of a correction going on. Like, he was never going to shoot 50% for the season. Like, at some point, that number had to come down a little bit. And he was never going to shoot 40-something percent, I think, from three. I mean, I don't want to say never, but that number was a bit inflated. I think he can still shoot a pretty good percentage from three, but that number was a little high. And a correction like this was kind of coming. So I think it was unrealistic to think that he would only keep going up with no downs in there. Now, he might easily bounce back after this and have a continuation in January of what he did in December. But the past few games have been a bit of a correction. So whatever, regression to the mean, water finds its own level, whatever cliche you want to throw in there. Brad Stevens was encouraged. And in the first half was encouraging to a fair degree. They did outscore the Sixers, 55 to 48. So they had a nice lead at the half. They were taking advantage of not having Joel Embiid there. They did, however, run into an issue with Norvell Pell, or whatever his name is. I mean, that dude, he looked like you. Almost looked like they disguised Mitchell Robinson in a Sixers uniform for a game. Big springy dude. He impacted the game while he was in there. But all in all, the first half, I think the Celtics did much more positive than negative. So Brad Stevens was right to be encouraging. And I think in that moment, Brad was very much just trying to, take away this hyper-focus on what's been happening with this team. It's very easy to get caught up in the emotion of these losses. And I just wrote a piece on Mass Live, a column. If you go to masslive.com/Celtics, you'll see it. Basically saying the Celtics can turn this around very easily if they're honest with themselves. It's very easy to have the emotional outburst because you watch these games and everything's been going so great that you watch these games and they struggle to beat Atlanta and they struggle to beat Chicago. And maybe they only beat those teams because they're Atlanta and Chicago. And then they go and they lose to the Wizards and the Spurs and now the Sixers without Embiid. When in reality, it's the Wizards had actually a couple of decent wins there. So it wasn't impossible that they were going to win that game. The Spurs are the Spurs. Spurs winning a game is really not shocking. And the Sixers, even without Embiid, are still a pretty good team with a lot of talent, and they have the ability to shift to a more Ben Simmons-focused offense and defense. And they, you know, having Horford helps them in that situation. And I say all that not to excuse anything, but I say all that as a, if the Celtics aren't trying hard enough, they are going to lose those games. Like that's not surprising that putting in a poor effort is going to result in losses in those situations. Because as I've said, the talent level at this level is all very close. Like the difference between the Wizards and the Celtics is like three good players. And the rest is not that, it's not that far off. Like the Wizards have Bradley Beal, and that's as good as anybody the Celtics have. And then they kind of don't have anybody else. And the Celtics have three other guys that are really, really good. And so those three guys, when they're playing well, make the Celtics really, really good. And if you take those three guys off and it's just one really good guy and then just take them off and have the rest of those Celtics there, what do they become? If it's Kemba and everyone else minus Tatum, Brown, and Hayward, I mean, you got Marcus Smart, so maybe you're not exactly the Wizards, but you're not great. You're not a playoff team. So that's the difference. So you have to try. You have to try. You have to put forth an effort. And the Celtics haven't. And so the crux of my piece was you have to look yourself in the mirror, essentially, and say, are we willing to do the hard things and try and do the things you're supposed to do when you don't want to do them? Like, isn't that, think about just your own life. Just getting up and going to work on a day where you're like, oh my God, I do not want to go to work or have to do something around the house. I don't want to do the dishes. I do not want to clean that bathroom. But you do it. You find a way. If you don't, then, you know, you backed up at work. Maybe you get disciplined at work. Things start to pile up in that. Like, you still, I don't care how much money these guys make. It doesn't change the fact that you've got this human reaction to, I don't want to do this exactly the same, with the same effort that I normally would do this. And that results in stretches like this. Every team goes through stretches like this. So can they get past that? Can they find it within them to get past that? And I think that's why Brad Stevens was encouraging after the game, because he wants to send certain messages to these guys. He wants them to see in the media that he is encouraged. When they do things well, it's important to kind of lift them up when everything else seems like it's bad. Now, if they had won this game by 30, then I don't think Brad would be doing much lifting up, because he wants to make sure that they're an even keel. I mean, he is the counterbalance to every. If the Celtics win by 30, you'll hear Brad Stevens be like, well, you know, we could have done this and we could have done that. And boy, this was not a regular game for insert other team. He'll downplay a lot of the success. When things aren't going great, he'll try to lift up players who might be struggling, lift up the team if they're struggling. He won't stand for certain things. And that's why before the game he said, you know, I'm concerned about our effort and we're not cutting and doing certain things. Like, that's a pointed message, but typically Brad Stevens is just trying to be the counterbalance to whatever it is. So, you know, you can watch for that. So in this one, the Celtics lost a tough one. He knows a lot of the reaction is going to be negative and, oh my God, they lost their third in a row and they should have won with that. You know, Philly didn't have Embiid, but he wasn't going to let that overly negative vibe kind of permeate the locker room. He wasn't going to take part in all of that. So he stayed positive. I'm going to take a break and return to wrap up the show. So stick around for more Locked On Celtics.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
As I wrap up the show, I guess the only thing I want to finish on, because obviously, if you can't tell, there's not much I want to talk about with this game. When this has gone on for three straight games, a lot of the same things have been going on. So there's really not much like analysis for me to do. You're watching these games and they come in rapid succession. And I feel like yesterday's podcast, today's podcast, I'm saying so many of the same things. And the only thing I want to say as we wrap up is it's very easy under the microscope of a daily grind to get upset about how these guys are playing. But I would caution against that, because three-game losing streaks happen, especially in January. And I don't want to be too dismissive and absolve these guys of their own responsibility. I don't want to just say, well, it happens, forget it. They may say that in the locker room because they have to move on. Like, they're going to practice on Friday, or not even practice. They might have film on Friday and go shoot around a little bit, and then they have to play on Saturday. Like, you can't dwell on it as a player, as a coach. You take the little lessons. It's very much a cliche when they say, well, we're just going to go watch film and we'll learn from it and we'll move on. They say it after every loss. That's a standard. I would win a lot of money from these guys if I could challenge them to not say the phrase, we'll watch film and we'll learn and we'll move on, or some variation of that. They all say it. But it's an easy thing to say, because it is actually true. Like, the only thing you can do in this is go to the video guys and say, I want to take a look at all of our pick and roll coverage, blah, 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 and give it to me on film. And these are the points I want to make. And Brad Stevens on the flight home is pouring through the game film himself and making his notes and telling the video guys, these are the points I want to make. These are the things I want to see. And shout out, by the way, to the video guys who are probably going to be up all night putting these things together. Working in the video room, being a video coordinator, that's legit. Like, there's a reason why these coaches, like an Eric Spoelstra, come from former video coordinator positions. You pour over so much film. You watch everything. I mean, I watch games twice. These guys are watching every play. They are breaking every single thing down. And eventually you start to see things and learn things. And it's just the level of detail that those guys in the video room do, the level that they go through, the type of stuff that they encounter as far as putting the clips together and learning all that stuff. They really, really are in depth. So there's a reason why you go from the video room to the sidelines. But anyway, that aside, these guys are going to go into the Auerbach Center on Friday. They're going to sit in that little room. They're going to get the notes from Brad. They're going to go through things and they're going to point it out. You weren't here. You weren't there. There are a couple of times in this game where Brad Stevens yelled at the team, we're not playing our system on defense. We're not playing our system. I asked Brad about it afterwards and he blew it off. He didn't want to talk about it. But he had those moments where it's like, guys, you're not doing the things that I want you to do. So he'll get everybody together. Here are the things that I want you to do. When this guy does this, you do this, blah, 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 and then move on. Because Saturday, the New Orleans Pelicans are there and they're a different team than the 76ers. And if you're still worried about, oh man, I didn't do this against the 76ers, you're going to make other mistakes against the Pelicans. So these guys have to move on. That's why they say these things. That's why it sounds dismissive, but they have to. We get caught up in moments. This feels like so bad for us because you've just spent 2.5 hours watching this game and you're confused. Your mind is telling you, like, how can we lose? How is it possible that we can lose to Washington and then say, all right, that happens, but now you've got to respond against the Spurs and you don't respond against the Spurs. You're like, what do you mean? Like, didn't you just learn your lesson? Okay. Fine. I'll chalk up the Wizards. I'll chalk up the Spurs, but this is the Sixers now. We got to come out and give a full effort here, and you play a half, and then all of a sudden it all goes away, and you're like, what the hell? What is going on here? And it's very easy to have these emotions take over and go onto Twitter and start screaming about trades and firing this guy or whatever. That's the easy part. And I don't know what the answer is. Maybe a trade is the answer. I don't know. But the hard thing to do is to take a step back and say, you know, maybe these guys just are having a bad week. Maybe it's just a slump. Maybe there's something else. Like, maybe this is just a thing that happened. It might just be a thing that happened. And all of a sudden they turn it around and by the All-Star break, you kind of almost forget that this happened. It becomes seriously a footnote. If they turn it around and they beat the Pelicans and they go off and they have a good January by the end of it, and at the All-Star break, I'll do my, you know, first half review, even though it's not really half of the season, but you go and do your review and you say, hey, Celtics started out hot, and after a brief dip in January, they went on this run and they are now second in the East. So this madness, this craziness, this thing that's blowing your mind right now, how the hell could this be happening? Could be reduced to a brief part of a sentence, not even its own paragraph. It could just be reduced to half a sentence when it's all said and done. I think if you keep that perspective, then maybe it's a little easier to take. It may not be this simple. This may be symptomatic of something bigger. You know, what? It's like a movie when like in Braveheart, when the king coughs, and all, that's like, oh, he's dying. The king coughs and he's dying, and you're like, oh, I mean, is that what this is? Are the Celtics coughing right now? And eventually, like, oh my god, that really was a sign of something serious. Or is this just like a cough, a little tickle in my throat? It took a cough drop. I'm fine. That, like, what is it? It's one of those two things, maybe somewhere in between. But I don't know that anybody really knows what it is yet. Because I certainly think that we have enough evidence to show that if they try and they play like a team and they move the ball and they play defense the way they've been playing defense earlier in the year, they've shown that they could put it together. But maybe success, maybe the talk of all-stars and all of this other stuff is kind of getting to people. And we saw last year, you go back a little bit further, there's evidence of, well, when guys get gassed up, they don't play well. They start going off on their own things. Is that what's happening here? It's hard to say. You know, we'll see how they respond. And if January continues to fall apart and this losing streak goes to 5-7 or whatever, then, you know, each loss kind of like adds another piece of evidence. But for now, it's entirely possible. Some might say likely that this is just a blip. It's a thing that happens. So that's it. That's my last thought on this game and this week, which has not gone well, but I hope this podcast has gone well for you as I struggle to find what makes sense about this team. I hope that I've shown you some things that could maybe help you make up your own mind about what you think is happening with this team. So all of you new listeners, I want to appreciate you sampling the show and say thank you. I hope you enjoy it enough to subscribe. All of you regular listeners, shout out to you. I'm sitting here in Philadelphia watching the glow of the Wells Fargo Center from my hotel room. I want to shout out to all the Celtics fans that I see on the road. All of the listeners, thank you. I'd love a 5-star rating. I'd love a good review. And I'd love it if you shared the podcast and told everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.